So we'll try to be as quiet as possible, since that song was suggesting we hush, hush by things. Thank you to Bill and the Big Band Show for leading into our public affairs show for Friday the 13th, 2009. Hope you're having a happy day. Why not? Okay, we're in control of our own fate. And you're in control of your time for the next hour, I hope, so you can listen to the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR Dearborn. Welcome to the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Koronick, and happy to have you with us today for our local news and information program, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. It is Friday the 13th, 2009, and it's always been a lucky day for me. End of the week, TGIF. How could it not be a great day? Hope you're having a pretty good time out there. A lot of people are hyped up about Valentine's Day tomorrow. And sort of like Christmas, I wish people would be that loving and thoughtful and giving, especially every day of the year. But in any event, let's take a look at the local newspapers. We're looking at the Dearborn Press and Guide from this last Sunday. And we are expecting a special guest in the office, in the studios today here, coming in the office first and then in the studio, but they have not arrived yet, so I will keep the suspense going until they show up. It seems that candidates are already active for city races here in Dearborn. This November, and actually August, going to be two big elections that have to do with all of the seats in the city, seats as they call them, mayor, clerk, and city council are all up for election or re-election as the case may be. And if more than twice the number of people that the office holds file for the race, a primary election will take place in August. And that means if more than two people file for mayor and clerk and more than 14 file for a city council, a primary election will take place. Although it's early in the game, a number of people have already pulled petitions or filed for the races. For the office of mayor, current Dearborn Mayor Jack O'Reilly has filed, while Dearborn resident Ziad Abdul Malik recently pulled petitions. And for city clerk, Kathleen Buda is the sole candidate for the clerk's post at this point in time. Current Dearborn City Council members George T. Duraney, Nancy Hubbard, and Mark Shushani have pulled petitions, as they call it, pulling petitions. Can you push a petition? You just push it in someone's face and say, sign it, but they have to pull it first, and then they can push it later, I guess. Challengers David W. Bazzi, Mark J. Doughty. You know, the new WHFR Journal is the only local radio news show where you can hear the pages turning on the air. Scott J. Marquette and Brian C. O'Donnell have also taken out petitions. Current council members Bob Abraham and Suzanne Serini late last year said they plan on again running for council, while council president Tom Tafelski and councilman Doug Thomas have said that they're unsure if they'll make another run at a council seat. Thomas, who has served five terms in the council, said he hasn't made up his mind whether or not he will seek another term. He said he's looking at the entire situation, but hasn't made a concrete decision. My own comment is that in watching many of the cable television broadcasts of the council meetings, Doug has been absent from a good number of those. I'd say one out of three at least, if not half, and I'm not saying that's good or bad, but hasn't been there as much as other people. Okay, Tafelski, who's in his second term, and he is council president, which means that he came in with the highest number of votes. So popular with the people in the last couple of elections, and he got the highest number of votes. Of course, highest number of votes after John B. O'Reilly Jr., who was council president, who took over, you'll remember, temporarily as acting mayor after the passing of our former mayor, Michael Guido, and then was reelected in the special election to the mayor's job. And so Tefelsky has said very clearly, and we report on the show too, that he thinks the council needs new voices and Dearborn voters need new choices when council elections roll around. He's been very frustrated. He's been sort of odd man out or good man out or even man out in some of his opinions where the council has voted things in, and he's been against those particular resolutions that were passed. And that can be very, very frustrating, of course, especially if you're council president and you feel you sort of have the, if not the mandate, you've got the majority or the plurality of votes there from the public, and yet that representation is, you know, you don't get your way that often, even though maybe you feel you should. And so that's got to be frustrating, I think. But some in Dearborn have speculated that Tefelsky would take a run at the mayor's post and oppose O'Reilly. So we'll have to wait and see about that, if he chooses to go that route or not. He has had a few differences with Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. and in the past on different issues. But it was interesting that the mayor's office and the city has come out very strongly in either response to or in agreement with Tefelsky, in that the developers have to be held legally to their promises. And we report on that the last couple of weeks, is that suits have been filed against the developers of the West Dearborn project. And I'm not sure how long they're going to keep on a string, even the developers of the former Montgomery Ward site either, because they've had numerous extensions but and complaints from Tefelsky too. So we'll have to wait and see where that's going. It was kind of scary that one of the claims made against the West Dearborn developers, Burton Katzman is the name of the company, is that the company doesn't exist anymore. Although spokespersons have denied that, but that they just sort of dissolved their company without telling the city. That was a charge, and I don't know. It's and of course, supposedly millions of dollars development that wasn't done, the city wants back. And so that's good. It keeps the developers moving along, even in difficult economic times, of course. So still a lot of time to go here. Just in case you are interested, to run for council, a person must be a Dearborn resident, registered voter in Dearborn, and 18 years of age. To pick up petitions for the races, visit the clerk's office in Dearborn City Hall, 13615 Michigan Avenue. Okay, so we're going to continue on. And we have in the studio with us my special co-host today. Yeah, go ahead, pick up headphones wherever you'd like to. I'm joined by Angel Gomez, who is here today. Our special guest, I've just got a note here, is sick and couldn't even go into the office, and like to reschedule. So we'll be inviting that person in. So let's introduce Angel Gomez to you. I think, Angel, this is your first time on our show. Let's see how your microphone is set up.
Well, good afternoon, Jay.
Hey.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, let's find out which mic you're on and reduce some of this. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you decided to join WHFR as one of our staff volunteers, because we have all kinds of people, you know, on the staff here. And tell us, our listeners, a little bit about yourself.
Well, basically, I've been involved with radio over the years in the past, working with promotions with some of the commercial radio stations around the area. And I decided, after about 10 years of absence from that, to join your TCM 189 class as an enrichment project.
Staff training.
Mm-hmm. Staff training. It was very educational as well as inspirational, in the sense that I was able to find a place where, you know, a station that is creative and within the boundaries of decency are putting on a wide, eclectic display of all types of different musics and sounds portrayed over the airs, which I totally enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've enjoyed my experience while I've been here about a year now.
And you have done some DJing, filling in for us this Wednesday night. In fact, you were covering for the Axeman show, Frank's show, and that's it's great to see you on the air. Especially if it was always kind of a dream for you. A lot of our somewhat older volunteer staffs, and it's not. People say this is the student station at the college. A lot of people don't realize is that we have a wide range of ages of students, number one, but number two is that our volunteers also come from the community, and the only the way they get involved is by taking either the credit class or the College of Lifelong Learning version, same class, but they don't have to be a formally registered academic student in order to take the staff training class that way. The nickname of that program, folks, is CL2, College of Lifelong Learning. But we have just an amazing assortment of experience and knowledge and enthusiasm, and certainly we welcome Angel to the staff. And one of your special interests is, of course, which is why you're here today, interviews. You're going to interview the guest who can't make it now, but hopefully in the near future we can have this person here, and you'll be doing some other interviews, either pre-recorded or live. Maybe you can sit in and share some thoughts with our listeners about issues coming up. So your background in the last year is professionally. You've just been in business. You've been...
Well, correct. I've
and promotions, especially.
Promotions. Also, I'm a brand consultant. Obviously, there's a lot of buzzwords that go around in the industry of branding, as far as businesses are going, with a voice of creating the customer experience, especially in our downtime, as we're all experiencing right now. Customers are very aware of customer service issues as well as the customer experience when you go into, say, specifically in a retail establishment. As you walk in, how does it look? How does it feel? How does it sound? People, I've always been a student of sound and music and its effect on people. And I extrapolate from that a way of combining an experience for a customer. I think my motto basically is average companies sell products, unforgettable companies sell experiences.
Exactly. Yes. A lot of small business people, I mean, you can get into business with a relatively small investment, all things considered. I mean, it's large investment for maybe the average person or the out-of-work person. It's impossible, but you can get into a franchise or a unique business, and maybe a lot of people have ideas about that. And you can take classes on how to incorporate and so on. But the problem is, it's marketing is an issue. It's actually a very general term. It has to do with, even before you start your business, are you going to have a product or service that is that somebody wants to buy, that is compelling? And of course, the way to keep and expand your business is not just to sell good products or services, but as you said, you sell the whole experience, the image, the quality thing, even the friendliness of the employees, the way you're treated. Every aspect really has to be considered. And I know that in doing some getting some sponsorships for WHFR from businesses, that they see the money they spend for an announcement or an ad in our newsletter as just an advertising expense by itself. But that's, I always tell them that that's not going to be the best advantage for them. They have to see it as a value added thing. In other words, you got to pick your advertising carefully, and you have to go beyond just the simple, notice in the paper, we're open for business. So, and public relations is involved in this too, which seems to be part of what you're talking about, the complete experience. Public relations is sort of the image aspect of the business, oh so essential. And it's, I think in the last 20 years, public relations especially has now become known to and is more involved with medium to small size businesses than ever before, and quite appropriately, because in some cases it may be equally as important as the ads you take out, literally, like in a newspaper or direct mail or something. It is that complete experience, and it's a way to keep loyalty among your customers too. So
absolutely. People don't, they get caught up. People buy a franchise. People buy a business, and they start a business, and they want to create their product and make sure that they're worried about buying and inventory and selling and making sure that the proper product goes into their business and that they're selling that, and that's where it ends with their thought process sometimes. However, I take the adage that people use all five of their senses while in a business: sight, taste, touch, smell, and hearing. In turn, businesses devote huge resources appealing to those senses, particularly like sight, taste, and smell, and as in the hospitality industry. But, you know, hearing has the potential to be the overriding sense in a business, because people are going to hear every sound in a business from the time they walk in to the time they leave. So it's very important to maximize that impact on the listening environment to have a positive effect on the customer. I use it a lot in restaurant scenarios. If you were to walk into up and down the street, if you were to walk into Chow or Kiernan's and stuff like that, you're hearing music that's professionally programmed to provide an atmosphere of comfort for the patrons. However, you may not be listening to every song, you're feeling it. It's a subliminal somewhat of an experience.
When I go into Fairlane Town Center for my mall walking on bad weather days, I don't necessarily like the sort of the background music, which is very relaxing. I saw that Muzak, the official background music people from the 50s, just filed for bankruptcy.
Yes.
Because there's so many other ways to get that music into your facility, maybe tuned to the right FM channel or something. You don't have to go to Muzak, who's a specific vendor of a particular kind of produced music, of course, that maximizes the effect. I won't go into it for our listeners, but you know what I'm most impressed about in Fairlane Town Center is how clean the floors always are. I mean, they're almost always highly polished and spotless, even during Christmas holidays when they had a lot of people walking in there, that they do a fantastic job to keep the floors shiny. Not too slick for the mall walkers, so they might fall, but really meticulous with the floors. And the displays are always nice, too. I mean, they do the best job they can. But so many stores have closed over there. A lot of the high-ticket specialty stores, the name stores. I think at one point we had an Eddie Bauer, one of the men's stores that I always admired but never could afford, Johnson & Murphy, mainly making shoes. They just closed. So it's not a good time for businesses, but what you're talking about, I think, is the way that you can do more than just sell products. You sell the image, the experience, and that's what will get people. I think people still have to be buying things, but they're going to be more careful, and they want to be, you might say, rewarded more, treated better.
Well, exactly. And if you were to, focus your studies on who is your customer and analyzing who your customer is, as a matter of fact, in the Fairlane, but I know 12 Oaks has an Abercrombie Finch. Everybody's familiar with that type of store. Now, if you're of an older generation and you should walk into it, you're listening to music being played at a very loud level. You have a very active, intense type of programming that's going into that, and it creates an experience for an older person actually wants to walk out of there pretty quickly. However, the people that they're targeting to, that they're charging so much money for those clothing that they're selling and stuff like that, it's that vibe of what they want to hear. The new generation, as it is.
It's very difficult to sell one thing to everybody. People might think it's easy, but I mean, there are some products that everybody probably uses, like toothpaste every day, and maybe soap or a shampoo of one sort or another. But with very few exceptions, I mean, and most of the fast food restaurants, they want everybody, of course, to go there, whether it's Wendy's, McDonald's, whatever. But even their specific TV commercials are tailored to one audience or the other, that is one age group or one gender or special interest group or whatever, to maximize that. It's very hard to be persuasive to everybody at the same time. So you try multiple things. But I think the thing that impresses me most about the places that I shop these days is, first of all, very knowledgeable, intelligent, and courteous salespeople. Of course, I'm one of those college-educated people. I've always got a lot of questions. I'm always asking more questions than the average person might ask about anything and driving people crazy. So I'm looking for the intelligent salespeople, but the very courteous salespeople. I'm also such a careful shopper, like when I'm looking for a new car, I will go back in several times to the same dealership, not just trying to negotiate price each time, but for more information and maybe for a test drive and then look at their promotions for that month. That drives salespeople crazy, because somebody wrote a sales book somewhere, if you don't get them and you don't get that sale when they first come in, they'll never come back. Well, not me. I want them to treat me and remember me and send me emails and things ongoing. I'm a hard sell. Okay, but I, you know, just the way I am, I think a lot of people are more in that category, maybe not as knowledgeable about what questions to ask, but they want that continuing relationship. It's a relationship thing, so that, you know, and that implies that after the fact of the sale, they're going to be treated well if they have to return something or they need more information, too. I always loved Adre Appliance when they were selling such a wide variety. They sort of limited their number of items and the categories of things that they sell right now. Their salespeople were not paid on commission, so whether they made the sale or not didn't matter, but they were very well trained in-house to be knowledgeable. And, of course, unbiased, because they didn't have to make a commission themselves, although, of course, they wanted to help the, you know, Adre Appliance stay in business.
Well, confidence in your sales representative or your actual store clerk or whomever is very critical because, and you allude to product knowledge, with the advent of the internet and people being able to do homework on products and comparison shopping, you can go online and you can find out just about everything you want to know about every product that's out there. As far as they have sites now with reviews and everything, if you go in and you know more about that product than the actual person trying to sell it to you, you develop a lack of confidence.
Sure.
And if they don't have the due diligence to move forward and know that much about their products, how are they going to be on the back end should you have a problem and have to go to them? So it all creates that experience where if you're, you know, and it goes everything from, you know, customer service, calling a number and listening to what's, you know, when you get placed on hold for 27 minutes. We've all dealt with that issue with different various companies, which I won't mention here, but you feel that and it creates a frustration level. And then you don't feel as though you're getting your money's worth.
I get a phone call almost every evening from one of our WHR staff members who is still trying to figure out about the digital television conversion. And it has been officially delayed now, folks. It was President Obama, one of his first edicts was that Congress should consider delaying it because, number one, they haven't sent out all of those coupons that will allow people to get a converter if you just have a broadcast antenna reception for your television, then you won't get a signal after it goes digital. So you need these converters. Well, the government ran out of money to pay for the coupons, okay? Because they actually, you know, when they send the coupon out, it gives people a $40 credit on the purchase of a converter. The government then pays that $40 to whoever that vendor was, whether it was ABC Warehouse or whoever, Radio Shack or whoever. And so the government, they ran out of money. So many people wanted coupons, so they don't have any more money in there yet. And so they have extended the deadline to June 12th to give these people that don't have cable a chance to get the boxes. Well, my point is that the person has been calling stores about the boxes. They've been calling the federal government. They finally decided, well, I guess I need a coupon, when in fact they have cable. I tried to tell our staff member they won't need the coupon, cable. But she called, she called the cable company that she has. You know, in Dearborn, it's only one of two, but anyway. And their service rep said, oh, yes, you've got to buy our new digital system, because she has the basic tier analog box. And that's wrong. Which is wrong. You know, they gave her wrong information, maybe to get her up into the next tier of digitally switched boxes, which she doesn't. Her old box will still work. They'll send all the channels down through her analog box. And so much information, because she doesn't have internet. So she's on the phone calling these people, and 2/3 of what she found out about is wrong. And it's a fairly simple issue. If you have cable, folks, you don't need to do anything. If you don't, yes, you'll need the converter box, but now you have until June 12th. However, you can request a coupon from the government. There's a toll-free phone number. I don't know what it is offhand. You can go to their website, dtvtransition.org, and you can request that coupon. But you won't get the coupon until our legislators get done with the stimulus package and then consider money for more coupons. You know, they've already spent $1.34 billion on coupons.
That is an incredible figure.
And they already ran out. And they figure there's still another 2 to 6 million people that won't have any TV reception at all because they haven't bought the boxes yet because they haven't got the coupons. If they went, you know, supposedly the transition was going to happen next week, Tuesday, the 17th, and that's not going to happen until June 12th now. So it's kind of a mess on this issue, and I think the government could have handled it differently, but they didn't ask me, so what can you do? Thank you for telling us your background, Angel. We're talking to Angel Gomez, and yes, that is his name. Is that his radio name? I don't know, folks, but that's the name he uses, all right. Maybe his, was that your birth name, or you don't have to?
That's my birth name. My radio name is Mike Banning.
Uh-oh.
And that's what you heard last Wednesday. Mike Banning in the Random Access radio show.
That's cool. Mike Banning. I love that. Okay, so we hope to have you with us more frequently than in the past when you weren't on this show before, and more as either a fill-in DJ or maybe someday you'll have the time and the schedule and the slot to host music on a more regular basis, too. Let me switch back here and do a couple of local stories, and I'd love to have you jump in for follow-up. By the way, what city do you live in?
I've been a lifelong resident of Dearborn, Michigan, and proud of it.
So we can ask him Dearborn historical questions if it comes up here. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, look out. I'd like to do this one because I already talked about the how people are already taking out petitions to be in the elections coming up for Dearborn mayor, city council, and city clerk. City is going to test reduced paid parking hours in West Dearborn. Oh. This sounds exciting. The Dearborn City Council, Monday night, that's right, folks, it's last week Monday, this is from the Sunday edition here, gave the city administration authority to implement a short-term test period reducing the hours of operation of the West Dearborn parking system. The city is shooting to begin the test on February 17th. That's next Tuesday. February 16th is a parking system holiday anyway. I didn't know that. Parking system holidays. Nobody told me. Anyway, so it's going to start on the 17th, according to City of Dearborn Public Information Director Mary Landroche. The hours during the test period will be 9 a.m. to midnight. Well, that's pretty much the whole day, isn't it? The trial can last for up to 90 days, Landroche said, but can be shorter. What's all this can be? Can be. Is there any specific details here? Turning the page, as we do on this. See, we're not just making this up, folks. We're actually reading it from the papers, okay? And that's the God's truth, right? As much as they get the story straight. Anyway, from the Press and Guide, it says, also to be determined yet, though, are the reduced hours of operation during the test period, that 9 a.m. to 12 midnight. They don't know that yet. The parking system's in effect now from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Monday through Saturday in metered locations, and 9 a.m. to 4 a.m. in cashiered locations. Now, I think the only place they have people in the booths are in the parking towers right now. That's the only place you have cashiers. They've taken the cashiers out, that is, the people in the booths at the parking lots. That's been gone. Mayor O'Reilly wanted to do that, to get them out of there. Well, we can't afford to have the people sitting in the booth all the time anyway, even though they help you make change if you don't have money for the meters. And I think they still have a couple around. I remember somebody in West Dearborn just Wednesday. I had a dinner meeting with people there, and they'd pulled into the one area, and they had to pull up because they realized they didn't have money for the booth. But there was somebody way down, so they didn't have a person at, you know, all the way through. But somebody was in the lot there to help make change for them. Of course, you can do that, folks. Well, you have to plan ahead, folks. That's all. You're gonna parking meter areas. But I do know that the cashiered locations are definitely in the two parking towers. The test period cannot exceed 90 days according to this regulation resolution that was passed by the city council. During the test period, hours will be subject to change without notice. Signs will be placed at the entry to each parking lot according to the temporary hours of operation. The city is implementing these temporary measures in response to requests from West Downtown businesses, which believe changes to the paid parking system will help drive customer traffic during the slower post-holiday season. That is, you know, after the so-called buying season, which didn't really happen of Christmas. And I have to say here, well, first of all, we want to thank Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, as it says here, Executive Director Jennifer Gehring. Angel and I just looked up on the website. She's the president. And they call her right here in the paper. See, the papers don't always get it right.
Many titles for one position.
It all sounds good, though. Executive director sounds pretty good, but president can't get too much better than president, can you? Anyway, but she was the one that went in front of the consul advocating for these businesses and pushed for the change at the consul meeting towards the end of 2008. And she said, she said here, they're paraphrasing, that she thinks it's great the city's looking at ways to take the burden of the business, burden off the business owners, but she believes the change, albeit temporary, needs to be marketed properly. And that's my feeling, too. Her quote here is, that's really the only way things will change in the West Downtown area. People who don't live in Dearborn need to know about this, too. We need to find a way to get this information to some of the corporate offices that are scattered throughout Dearborn. Okay, well, my problem is, and it's not explained in the story here, when are they going to do these changes? They're only going to announce reduced parking fees or free days on the signs at the lot? So you don't find out until you get there? Well, how can they track, or is that just, you know, oh, today is my happy day, I don't have to pay money, or, you know, but it's a luck of the draw. It doesn't attract new people to go in there on a regular basis if they don't know if they're going to have to pay or not. You see my logic? Angel is shaking his head here. I'm not sure if it's up and down or sideways, but.
Well, basically, I'm astounded at that because, like you said, how do people, you know, if you're going to promote it and market it, it's now random. And random right. access doesn't help with respect to parking here because it does not draw. And there is no way to track it, by the way. And now just coming down on...
Especially without the cashiers there to count the people going in and out. I mean, they can look at the business done on the meters, but... If you don't know whether you're going to have to pay or not, is that more of an incentive to go down there? It says, well, let's take a chance. Maybe it's free today. I mean, I don't think that's the way to handle this test. And Jennifer Gehring's right. You've got to promote it, not just at the parking lots, but to the corporate offices or put an ad in the paper or whatever. You got to spread the word. But you'd have to spread the word and see what will be the response if you have, let's say, free parking for a whole week. During the days, let's say during that 9 a.m. to 2, you know, the lunch period or the shopping period during the week or the weekends. But you have to promote that first. You can't just do it at random and announce that from a sign at the lot on that very day. That would be wrong. So I'm sure they're thinking this through, and it can't be that pig-headed at the consul or the city, whatever part of the city administers this. Who administers the lots, I wonder, in the city of Dearborn? But I think they'll work something out, okay? I just hope it's going to be well-promoted as Jennifer Gehring, president, we think, of the Dearborn Chamber of Commerce, has said.
Well, not only do they have to promote it, and they have to track it and see if it's going to work. Because at the end of the day, somebody's going to have to pay for the construction of those lots.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, is it going to be the people who are going to park their cars there? Is it going to be the businesses that are taking advantage of the free parking or something? You know, they've tried many different ways of working around how they're going to pay for those lots, which is an outstanding debt that needs to be addressed. But you're also finding other cities facing the same situation.
And not to mention, whether they took out bonds or just took it out of the general fund, they still have to pay off the cost of building those two parking towers.
That's my point.
So there's like 10, 20 years of payments they've still got to make to pay off those buildings, much less, you know, by the time they pay them off, they'll probably be ready to fall down and we'll have to build up new ones. I mean, it's, you know, there's maintenance that has to go on, whether it's the surfaces or the roofs or whatever. And so that, now what they have done, and this article does go on, and you always should read the articles all the way through, folks, if you do get the paper, is they made a change in the Parking Advisory Commission. So they do have a commission that looks at these rules. So maybe they're the ones that are going to figure out how to promote this. The city council approved an ordinance that changes in the purpose and composition of the Parking Advisory Commission, which sets and oversees policies affecting parking just in West Dearborn, though, because there is no paid parking in East Dearborn. For anybody thinking of going to East Dearborn, don't worry about the parking. Well, there's meters along Michigan Avenue, but other than that, the lots behind are all free in East Dearborn. Because apparently the commission used to include property owners or merchants from the East Downtown Dearborn Business District. So the commission is only for West Dearborn now, and they've reduced the number from 11 to 9 with 4 alternates. Commission appointees have not been chosen yet. The nine members will be mayor, council members, a traffic safety officer. Okay. Is that somebody from the police department? Traffic safety officer. I hadn't heard of that one before. City's parking management contractor and alternate. Restaurant owner manager is one of the categories they have to fill. And a bar entertainment owner manager, which is different than restaurant, I guess, and so on. So now they have a few less people. You can always get more done, I think, on a committee if it's a little bit smaller. I mean, functionally, you need to represent all the so-called stakeholders, and I don't mean the restaurants that sell steak, but all the people that have a part of the action, you might say, that need to be involved to give their input. But you don't want a committee too large because then there's too many different opinions and you never can come to a consensus. And I love consensus myself, if it ever happens. Not in the U.S. Congress, but, you know, consensus is a wonderful thing where everybody pretty much agrees with the direction. And if it's a consensus on something that's going to move you forward, not just a consensus on status quo doing nothing, but a consensus that's going to try to resolve some of the problems you have. And so... However, whoever proposed that, that is coming about here. And it says another action is that that for customers' convenience, holidays are free of charge in the West Dearborn parking system. And they've been changed to match those observed by the U.S. Postal Office. So that's Monday. And you know what Monday is, Angel?
Monday is President's Day.
There we go. Thank you, presidents. All the dead presidents, though. Right? It's only the dead presidents? No, all presidents, I think, we're honoring on Monday. So.
And should the USPS, this, or the United States Postal yes. Service, should right. they decide to stop delivering on Tuesdays instead of Saturdays, so, because they're going to be dropping a day of the week, I wonder if they'll have free parking that time.
Well, that's, we'll find out, yeah. So, and of course, those other par for free. We already missed Martin Luther King Day, Junior Day, and President's Day. Columbus Day is coming up somewhere, and Veterans Day, and the holidays that remain on the list, of course, New Year's Day, Easter Memorial, and so on. So, if it's a holiday, go park quick in West Dearborn all day long, free. That's cool. And so they have instituted several things, and I think they are trying to move ahead, and the commission has gotten a little bit leaner, and the East Dearborn people aren't there to cause trouble. No, not that they would, but it's not their, not, you know, most of the decisions, other than their little parking meters on Michigan Avenue, the real problems are those lots, because there's really no Michigan, well, there is no Michigan Avenue parking on Michigan Avenue in West Dearborn. So it's all the paid lots, and there are a few, I guess, still small private lots for some businesses that they own and maintain for themselves, but not many. Not many there. So.
Well, they've built quite a lot of lots, made it a lot easier and accessible to go into West Dearborn and enjoy the businesses there. But with the downturn in the economy, I think they're putting a lot of blame on the parking as opposed to it's only one element of a multifaceted problem that we're facing here.
We're going to take a break here on the new WHVR Journal, come back with more local news and views with Angel and myself, Jay Koronick. Take a listen. Again, we don't do commercials here. No, but we have some important information, so listen up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back live at the National Butt Out Finals. AJ Langer is all fired up. And there he goes. It's out. He put his butt out in 2.6 seconds. Lori is with AJ. Lori?
AJ, how did you get your butt out so quick?
Well, I learned the hard way. I burned the house down.
If you smoke, put it out. All the way. Every time. Smoking is the number one cause of preventable home fire deaths. Check out usfa.dhs.gov/smoking. A message from the U.S. Fire Administration and firefighters everywhere.
A leader in education in your community, Henry Ford Community College has provided excellence and innovation in education since 1938. We're proud to have launched the careers of thousands of students both in Michigan and around the world. Celebrate the 70th anniversary of Henry Ford Community College by becoming a student today. Achieve your dreams, and it starts with a visit to hfcc.edu or by calling 1-800-585-HFCC. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
Hey now, you better listen to me, every one of you. We've got a lot of work to do. Forget about your women and that water can. Today you're working for the man.
Hey, this is the Gotham Billy Man, your friendly neighborhood beatnik, inviting you to join me for a special series on Roy Orbison, hosted by Dave Marsh.
Strange, but I can't write a melody and then put the lyric to it or vice versa. I just start, and all the songs that have been successful were written within 30 or 40 minutes. Pretty
woman. Roy Orbison was a rare talent with an operatic voice that poured raw emotions. I'm Dave Marsh. Please join us for Roy Orbison, the soul of rock and roll.
That's a special documentary series, part one, The Soul of Rock and Roll, heard each week starting in February on the Wrecking Hours Rockabilly Radio Show, Mondays 4 to 6 p.m. on the station Making Waves, 89.3 FM in Detroit, WHFR.FM on the net.
Ah, Roy Orbison, special documentary. We often get those specially produced by non-commercial, non-profit people, and we love to support that. We do a lot of new music on all of our shows. That's one of our whole purpose of being here. In all of our special formats, we try to play things that commercial stations don't. I don't know anyone else that's doing the Roy Orbison special offhand in the Detroit area. But on the Rockabilly Show, which is Monday afternoons from 4 to 6, in that format, there is new stuff always coming out, surprises some people. I thought rockabilly was gone since the 50s. No, there's new bands, young bands in some cases, that are doing that. But we allow the show to go back and touch on some of the history of rockabilly, too. And Roy Orbison always was part of that development in the 50s and sort of continued that very unique sound. What a voice he had, even in his last couple of years when he was doing special concerts for PBS and so on.
Traveling Wilburys.
Right, Traveling Wilburys. I think the PBS special, they use it a lot for fundraising still. It's called Black and White Concert or something like that. It was shot in black and white, but some of the people on stage with Orbison was Bruce Springsteen, and just a fantastic crew support. And it was just called Black and White Night or something like that. And it's a... I bought the DVD even because it was so good. So we love to do special things like that, always here at WHFR.FM, always something new. That we don't say we're making waves for nothing, okay? We do things that no one else can do, and we do them with volunteers that work for nothing. That's the nature of a volunteer. It's a definition, I think, such as Angel, who's with me today here on the show. So let's take a look at some more Dearborn and local area issues here from the local Dearborn paper. I think I finished the Sunday paper, so we'll go even more recent. Unbelievable. Just 2 days old here.
Breaking news.
Oh, more or less, yeah. I can break the newspaper open anyway. With all the billions and trillions of dollars that the U.S. Congress is giving to people, it is reported that they're finishing up a new football field for Dearborn High School. It's the last of the three Dearborn High Schools to see a new field, so they got to keep up with the Joneses here. But that field is going to be a synthetic field, and it costs more than grass, between $500,000 and $1 million, but it's easier to maintain. So there's upfront cost with the plastic that they're going to be running on. I know there's less of a safety issue. I mean, it's safer for athletes to run on synthetic, isn't it? They don't have a chance to, like, because their cleats on their shoes are not as deep, and they less likelihood to twist their ankles as in natural grass or mud or whatever field.
But, well, not only that, the slippage, pulling the groin muscles, the stretching when their feet come out from underneath them, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. It's interesting. I just drove by there, and I was imagining how that football field is going to look, because they have all the construction going on up there and everything.
Yeah.
As it was originally, where the original football field is down low by the river, used to flood over all the time,
right.
And it was a hard time to maintain it. They're going to actually lift that up and put that on the tennis courts, so when you're driving down Outer Drive, you're going to be able to see the football field.
Yeah, the flooding, they say here, would ruin the field in that other position. So it's I was thinking about it. Do we really need that if we have to cut cost? You know, last week I mentioned that the school district knows they're going to be $11 million down in the Dearborn Public School budget, and they already have a list of what they probably got to cut. Sports was not one of them. because, you know, we have to admit the experience of high school for many people is around those special sports events. It's a socialization thing, but it's important, I guess, for a lot of people. It wasn't for me, but anyway, I was busy studying. Crazy guy that I was. But anyway, nonetheless, for a lot of people, it's part of that nostalgia, and they look back favorably. You know, their team won or their team lost or whatever, and rah-rah and all that. And so it's an excuse to go to school, I guess, for those that aren't motivated for just studying for its own sake. And so you can't do without it, I guess. I just hope that when they cut things, they don't eliminate music and arts and the other programs that fully round the and complete the educational experience for people. That they shouldn't just do, you know, the three R's or whatever the letters are today, three R's and an I, the internet. They should also make sure that they keep music and arts in there, but usually music and arts are the first to go. Well, we wish them well with that field, and I'm sure it'll be done by the fall anyway. I don't see the completion date, but...
they're expecting to play the 2009 season there.
Yeah, that's what it says.
And one thing I did notice, too, is it's the same makers that did the Ford Field, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't see it in the paper, but I had heard that.
The same contractor?
Correct.
Yeah.
And those are the best, I guess, the best available ever. I drive by Ethel Ford's off of Rotunda Drive, and it's beautiful. I have to give them that. I think it's a little over the top myself, personally, but it is beautiful.
Well, being synthetic, it should be the exactly right color of green anyway, and it's going to stay that way even in the hottest weather, I guess.
I'm looking forward to seeing some natural green.
Here was a great development, and we just had our Pet Lovers Lane host, Susan Garrett, in the studio during the break, and she's just finishing up the program for tomorrow on the Forum Show from 10 to 11 a.m. It's the return of Pet Lovers Lane, and she has, get this, Angel, she has... As her main interview, she has the person who is the director of the National Presidential Pet Museum. I kid you not, there is a National Presidential Pet Museum. I hope it's not filled with a bunch of stuffed former pets in Washington, D.C. And so she's going to talk to her about the history of presidential pets and what's in the museum, and as well as giving her usual calendar of events that relate to pet issues, whether it's, you know, how to get a pet, healthy pet, or whatever. And so this is news, breaking news here in Dearborn. It's just wonderful. Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, their developmental director. I don't like that term, development director. A developmental director sounds like this person is handicapped, but no. Their development director is a Kelly Sissung, S-I-S-U-N-G, and they announced last Friday that the group continues to focus on gathering private contributions in its efforts to get a new home for the pets in the Dearborn Animal Shelter. They want a whole new facility that's bigger, that's easier to find and located than their Greenfield location just south of I-94 next to the, I think it's the Dearborn Waste Treatment Plant or something. Anyway, not a bad smell there, but and as we know, and if you don't remember, folks, the Dearborn Animal Shelter is run by the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter, which is a nonprofit group that contracts with the city. And they manage it, they keep it clean, they keep it organized, they raise the money, they're doing a fantastic job, and the city is spending less money than what they were spending when they had to run it for themselves. And there's all kinds of problems. So there's a wonderful group, I think they've been doing for 15 years maybe, something like that now, and doing a fantastic group, mostly volunteers except for a couple of full-time people at the top, about 60 volunteers, I understand, something like WHFR. And what they have gotten at the June 2nd, 2008 meeting, the Dearborn City Council, and this is a ways back, but remember this did happen, the council unanimously approved 5-0, two members absent, authorizing the city treasurer to establish a capital improvement project in the city's general capital improvement fund to aid the Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter in its fundraising efforts. So they've got an official place that people can send their checks or donations specifically for the purpose of the new shelter. And the city has agreed to appropriate a contribution between $600,000 and $1 million from the City of Dearborn General Fund to this project. Of course, my question is, that's a big difference. Who's going to say when? Do they wait until the private contributions are done and then see how much money they got left in the general fund? But 600,000 is only 60%, folks, of a million. So there's a big $400,000 difference there. But the city has promised something like that and guaranteeing it sort of by that. And the project is set for groundbreaking, hopefully, sometime in 2010. Well, that's next year now. This is 2009, while the opening is set for 2012. So, well, they're focusing on raising, of course, funds all the time just to keep operations going. And they are separately at the same time looking for private. And when they mean private contributions, they mean non-city contributions, but they really haven't gone public yet and asked individuals to donate specifically for the new facility. I think they're looking for some big chunks of money. I think the new facility is going to be something like somewhere between $6 and $10 million total cost. So that's a big, big chunk there. But I know I'm a supporter. I give a little money for to the operational side. They have not specifically asked me, I know, not that I have any money, to give a big chunk, but they haven't asked the general public to give money towards a new facility yet. I think they want to get a lot of it raised maybe from a foundation. Ford Foundation probably is not a good likelihood these days, but you know everybody's doing tough times. But they're trying to get some, I think, large chunks in there first.
They're very passionate about what they do there. And if you've ever visited the Dearborn Animal Shelter, you'll see that people are very caring. They're trying to do the best job they can, and the more help they can get, the more they deserve.
I found the new shelter cost. Again, the moral here, folks, is read all the way through. Executive Director Elaine Green, and I know I read that $6 million somewhere, they now say that the new shelter will cost $4 million. That's a cost if the group elects to build the new animal shelter from the ground up somewhere. If a site is found within the city, and if it's someplace that can be renovated, that is a building that's just vacant somewhere, they think, but it's still going to cost about $3.5 million. So might as well do the new one, I think. Just go for it. So, but they don't quite know where it's going to be located. There is a sign up behind the police station saying this is the land where it's going to be, unless they've taken that down now. But it's not necessarily going to be there, folks. Okay, the city did sort of reserve that land, but it's not on Michigan Avenue. It's sort of back, you know, behind the courts and the police station there, next to the train station. All are thinking of moving the train station, you know, to West Dearborn. That's a plan to expand the transportation facilities of a new location closer to West Dearborn. Maybe they would use the old train station location for the pets or something. But in any event, that hasn't been decided. They need about 20,000 square feet somewhere because the current building only has 4,000 square feet, and they're just at capacity, folks. So now I'm going to go with 9 minutes left here on the new WHFR Journal, WHFR.fm, making waves. Valentine's Day is this weekend, and the people at the animal shelter, Dearborn Animal Shelter, would like to help you celebrate. They say, first of all, find your new best friend through our MYM Meet Your Match program. They say it's the eHarmony for finding your perfect new four-legged best friend. You come in, they'll give you a survey, they'll match you with the best pet for you. And of course, at the facility, they have cats and dogs, I think, and most of the other types of animals that could be a pet legally are in shelters or in foster homes throughout the city waiting for adoption. So if you're looking for something other than a dog or a cat, they might be able to set you up too. But they will match you with your situation. Maybe you live in a small apartment, or you have a somewhat larger house. Maybe you have children, maybe you don't. They'll help you find the pet that's going to be right for you and take their advice in counsel. This is very important to be matched. Well, marriage too, I think, or dating is not a bad idea also, but it's very important to be matched with the pet. And we do have a very positive story here, and I'd like to go to the editorial by Tim Powers in last Wednesday's paper. And he goes into more detail here. He's sending a happy Valentine to Jennifer Gehring, who we mentioned earlier in regard to the Chamber of Commerce and the parking restriction removal or paid parking trial to remove payment for 90 days. Anyway, this is his statements from Tim Powers. He says, recently, Jennifer Knott Gehring, Knott, that's K-N-O-T-T, folks, her middle name here, although it could be a hyphenated name. I don't think it's hyphenated. It's her middle name. Anyway, I don't see a hyphen there. It does say here she's the president, had an experience similar to theirs about pets. On January 20th, Gehring went to the Dearborn Animal Shelter and fell in love with Bella. I wonder if it was a eHarmony match. Anyway, Bella, it turns out, is a dog that stole her heart. Gehring told Tim Powers, I never had a dog before, but it has been a match made in heaven, unquote. Now, Bella goes to work with Gehring, and they've got a picture here on page 6A of Wednesday of Bella at a computer. And I don't know what kind of dog, Bella is exactly. It's a big dog. It's a large-sized dog, and looks like a wonderful dog.
Is that Windows or a Mac?
That's right. Does Belling know a Mac? Maybe she could be a guest DJ for it. No, probably not. Woof, 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 woof. Or a co-host for the show. All we do is bark all the time on the show, right? Anyway.
And whine.
And the joke is that Bella is helping out on the computer there for her. Of course, I don't think so. Anyway, she says, another quote from Jennifer, he has given me so much. They say you get back so much more when you reach out. That's what's happened to me, unquote. So Gehring can't say enough about the people at the Dearborn Animal Shelter and the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, which is the organization that supports it, that operates it. She said, they made the whole transition go smoothly and successfully. After I brought Bella home, I had some questions they helped me with when I called back. Morell, our news director here, who was here in here today too, she said she's adopted a couple of cats from them, and they were very good and helpful after the fact too, when she had some questions. And they have, competent veterinarians, and the animals are all checked out, and they have their shots, and they have their little embedded chip. It won't hurt them. Help you find them if they get lost, though. Very important to have that little chip in there too, and they'll do all of that. So anyway, that's Tim Powers' tribute. Happy Valentine's. So wherever you can find love, folks, the more love, the better. And don't forget the other animals in this world. Don't forget the environment in general, because if we don't have a good environment, even the pets can't live, much less the humans. So we are about ready to conclude the show today, I think. Let me just take another quick look through here. Oh, city is not responsible for the bill for the Abbott recount. Remember that? Candace Ewan Abbott ran for 19th District Court Judge way back last November and then asked for a recount. And let me just do the follow-up on this one. The city doesn't have to pay for that recount. The city's not liable for the bill. And I don't know, is Abbott liable? Maybe nobody's liable. It doesn't say there. Okay. Abbott requested precincts be recounted. Full recount would have cost, and they didn't do it, $580, $10 per precinct. So it looks like nobody has to pay at this point.
Therefore, the city must pay.
No, it says Wayne County wants us to pay them $671 for an hour of work. And the city's not liable for the cost of that recount because it wasn't a local election, such as a city council seat. And it's been taken care of since that quote was, Buddha said Monday. She's received answers from county election officials about that bill, and the city didn't have to pay it. And so I guess nobody has to pay it. Because there was just a request to get it started, I think. It didn't happen because Kathleen Buddha said, well, I'll forget it, after she thought about it for a few days, whether it was the money issue or... Yeah, it was a matter of 220-some votes, which is not, 5 or 10. So she thought that probably wouldn't, be worth the effort or the payment. And so it actually didn't go ahead. I think that was the issue. So nobody had to pay money there, so don't blame anybody in the long run. Well, that's the new WHFR Journal for this week. Remember, you can always listen again or tell your friends about it from our website, whfr.fm. Click on the button, Journal. And you can download the MP3 and go jogging with it if you're of want to do that, or listen to it again anytime, day or night. Check our facts. Let us know. You can email us at whfr@hfcc.edu anytime, and We'll be glad to listen to your comments or respond to your questions that way. It takes us a day or two to get the email channel to yours truly. But thank you, Angel Gomez, for being my co-host today. We'll look forward to your presence here at the station in more ways than one, I hope, and maybe back on the Journal again sometime soon.
Well, thank you for having me, Jay.
Very welcome. And stay tuned now for Highway 61, our blues music show for 4 hours with Joanne Kay, coming right here on this channel. Don't change that dial. Coming right up, let's start that theme song now and get things moving. Thanks for listening. Keep stirring things up out there, folks.
South of Memphis, Tennessee.